This is most certainly true. In the greatest act of selfless mercy, God sent his own son into our world to die for your sins. And we can't stop talking about it. We now present this sermon, recently delivered at Grace, to you.
The Lord God promises his commitment and his presence with his people Israel. A reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 43. But now this is what the Lord says, he who created you, Jacob, he who formed you, Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord, your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt for your ransom, Cush and Seba in your stead. Since you are precious and honored in my sight, and because I love you, I will give people in exchange for you, nations in exchange for your life. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. I will bring your children from the east and gather you from the west. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not hold them back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. The word of the Lord.
Isn't she just precious? This is a part of a running commentary that plays in the background of thousands upon thousands of home videos as mom and dad swell with pride as they watch their daughter take her first steps, as grandma giggles with glee as she just can't comprehend the cuteness of her little granddaughter. Precious. Ask any young child if their blankie is important to them. Or maybe a better way to get the information you need is try and just take it away from them once and see what happens. Even if you quickly replace it with a bigger and a better and a softer blanket, it's still not going to go well for you because it's not the blanket, their blanket, the one that brings them comfort and security and joy. They may not know the word, but they're illustrating for you what it means for something to be precious. Ask a wife if her engagement and wedding ring is precious, and she'll tell you. It's made of valuable materials, it's expensive, and that makes it important, but it's the sentiment that comes behind it. It's what it means and who it is that gave it that makes it irreplaceably precious. Ask God what is precious to him, and he'll tell you. In fact, he knew that that question would be on the hearts and minds of people, and so he answered the question even before we were given a chance to ask it. God answers that question in our first reading in Isaiah chapter 43. But now this is what the Lord says, he who created you, Jacob, he who formed you, Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. God was giving his people a much-needed resume reminder. They had forgotten who God was and what he had done for them, and so he gave them a patient and a loving history lesson. Remember me? Remember me? I'm the one who created you and gave you life. I'm the one who formed you into a nation and made you great. I'm the one who has never turned my back on you, even though you often turn your back on me. I'm the one who has promised you protection and has delivered time and time and time again. I am the Lord, your God, and you are my precious people. These are striking words on the lips of our God for a number of reasons, not the least of which is the sharp contrast that it strikes from the way that God addressed his people just one chapter prior. It's in Isaiah chapter 42 that God sings quite a different tune about his people. The words that God sings about them there, they're not nearly as sweet. It's in Isaiah chapter 42 that God announces that his people are blind and deaf. God wanted his people to see him for who he was, but it's like they had covered their eyes. He wanted his people to hear his promises and to live their lives according to their truths, but they stuck their fingers in their ears. They just wouldn't listen. To put those facts in different terms, God wanted a commitment from his people. A basic commitment to worship him and not other gods, to live their lives for him and not for themselves or for anyone or anything else. But they failed miserably. And so do we. Jesus tells us pretty plainly in today's gospel, anyone who loves their life will lose it. But sadly, doesn't that describe us to a T? We are life lovers in the worst possible terms. Our selfishness and pride, the words that we choose and the deeds that we carry out, they expose a truth that we'd rather keep tucked down deep. That deep down in our hearts and in reality, probably not really all that deep, we're really and primarily only concerned about ourselves. We'll gladly climb up the back of someone else to tear them down if it means gain for us. We are quick to pass the buck and pass the blame and so slow to accept any type of personal responsibility. We are blind and deaf, just like Israel of old, and that means that we deserve the same fate. We deserve to be cut off from God and from his promises. We deserve to be separated from him forever. Did you happen to notice the very first phrase of today's first reading? Maybe if you didn't notice the first phrase, just noticing the first word would be sufficient. But God's people turned their backs on him, and we fall far short of living up to the standards that God sets in his law. But how sweet are the words of God's forgiving love. We don't give God nearly the commitment that we should, but our God is holy and fully committed to us. But now, this is what the Lord says. If you only know a few things about your God, one of the things that you know should be this: that when God speaks, things happen. God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God told Noah that he was going to cover even the highest mountain peaks with rain, and the floodgates above and the floodgates below, they burst open, and it rained for 40 days and 40 nights. Jesus said to Lazarus, "Come out." come out from your grave. And he stood up, grave clothes and all, and he walked out of the tomb, and he stood there with Jesus in front of the people. When God speaks, things happen. But now this is what the Lord says, and we know. And we know that what follows is something that we can take to the bank. Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. God has claimed us as his own, and nothing can change that. God loves us personally. And he makes sure that the benefits of his love become ours. God wants nothing more than to have us close to him here on earth and forever in heaven. And he secured just that truth and just those benefits for us. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt as your ransom, Cush and Seba in your stead. Since you are precious and honored in my sight, and because I love you, I will give people in exchange for you, nations in exchange for your life. God made these words come quite literally true for his Old Testament people. After being carried off into captivity by the nation of Babylon, Babylon itself was overcome by the Medes and the Persians. It was Cyrus, a Persian king, who decreed that God's people would be let go and that he would send them back to their homeland. Cyrus thought it was his idea, but God was behind it all. And yet one generation later, God offered the payment price. The payment price that he paid to Persia to redeem, to buy his people back. In compensation for them losing those captives, God delivered other nations into their hands. You want to guess which ones? It was Cyrus's son who conquered Egypt and Cush and Seba. Those nations quite literally were the payment price that was made for God's redeeming, for God's buying back of his people. And God has given people in exchange for you. And not just any people, but his own son. That which was most precious to him became the payment price. Jesus made himself the ransom to be our redeemer and savior. Why would God love us that much? Why would Jesus be so willing to pay such a lofty price? God's glad you asked, because he answers. Since you are precious and honored in my sight, and because I love you. Really, God says we are dear and heavy to him. Heavy the way a fine metal is more and more valuable, the heavier and heavier it gets. We are like gold to God, pure gold. And since we are worth our weight in gold to our God, that means that he would need to pay something more valuable than that if he wants us to be his, and he does, and he did. The holy, precious blood of his innocent son. Jesus became the payment price. The God-man laid his life down so that we would be bought back from sin and from death. Jesus gave us his blood. Jesus switched places with us, offering his life as the payment for our sins so that we could have life with him forever. Jesus did that so that we could hear the sweetest, most precious words that a human ear has ever heard, words spoken by our God. You are mine. God continues, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. Did you notice that God said when? He didn't say if you pass through the waters, he said when. And as certain as the rest of these truths are in this section to be reality for us, so certain is this. When you pass through the waters. The waters will rise and the fires will burn. There will be hardships and trials for us to endure. As much as we'd like to think that once God puts his name on us, now it's smooth sailing, we know that that's not true. In fact, the opposite is true. Now that the Holy Spirit has taken up residence in our hearts, now the battle begins. Now that we have a sinful nature and a new man dwelling within our hearts, now the territory war is fought. Now the temptations will come. Now the waters will rise and the fires will burn. But God keeps speaking. And I don't know if there's a simpler way that God can make his point clear to us. He says, "With you am I." I know that sounds a little bit like Yoda, but that's what our God says. "With you am I." And if you took a look at the original language, the word for you and the word for I, it's quite literally connected by a hyphen. You don't even have to read or know that language to know that this thing and that thing are together. This thing and that thing have something in common. You and I, God says, inseparable, as two becoming one. And so when we go through the rivers and when the fires are raging nearby, even then, especially then, "With you am I," says our God. And what does that mean for us in the hard and heavy and hurting days of this life? When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. If God is for us, who can be against us? If God is with us, it matters not what we are without. In Christ, we have everything that we need. And in case you weren't listening to verse 2, God says it again in verse 5. "Do not be afraid, for with you am I. I will bring your children from the east and gather you from the west. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not hold them back." God called his people from the south when they were in slavery in Egypt. God raised up from among them Moses, who demanded to Pharaoh, "Let my people go." God led them across the Red Sea and through the desert and over the Jordan River and into the promised land. God was soon in Isaiah's timeline to call his people from the east. Babylon would carry them off to captivity, but it wouldn't be their demise. God would call them back, and they would traverse back across the desert from the east back to their homeland. On Pentecost, God called his people from the four corners of the map, and they converge upon Jerusalem to hear a proclamation of Christ Jesus as Lord and to witness a display of his power. And then they scattered their ways back home, and they took with them their gospel, and they proclaimed the good news that Christ Jesus is Messiah and Lord, and the church's footprint grew. Our God showed a concern for the children of the people of Israel, but those weren't the only ones of whom he was concerned. He was concerned about different children, too. His own. In verse 5, he says to Israel, he says, "I will bring your children from the east and gather you from the west." But listen to what he says here. He speaks to them, but says, bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. God's calling and his gathering of his people, it continues even today. And God's speaking to you. He's calling on you to be a gatherer. Calling on you to be one who proclaims a message that will gather his people. It's true. You are precious in God's sight. You are purchased and won. God has given you as a free gift a place in his church triumphant forever. That's your future. That's the place where you will live eternally. But God calls you to be a gatherer too. There are people in your lives, in your neighborhoods and your workplace, people who are precious in God's sight, just like you are. And God sends you a faithful follower with a clear gospel message. He calls on you to gather those people too, that their eyes might be opened and their ears might be made able to hear who Jesus really is, the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, this world's Savior. Then, with the Spirit dwelling in their hearts, with faith given them as well as a gift, they can join you in the greatest and most glorious gathering that ever will be, as Jesus returns to earth from heaven to gather together those that will be his own. Jesus gathers people from the four corners of the globe and from the corners of history. He gathers all of those for whom he died, all of those who have faith in their hearts, all of those who have lived in faith and died in faith. Heaven is the wonderful gift that is given us, an eternal reward for us and for all who God says, everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. We live in a world that's filled with people who are consumed with finding their identity. And that means that we too will ask the questions, who am I? How do I fit in? What is my value? There are a lot of voices out there giving even more answers, and none of them make any difference at all. The only opinion that matters is the one that is held by the one who holds you in his protecting hands. The only voice worth listening to is the one who speaks and who is truth. He is the one who says, you are precious in God's sight. Amen. Please stand.
Thanks for listening. To learn more about God's grace or to support this ministry, please visit gracedowntown.org today. This grace is for you.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace.